This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And we're sharing with you some of the stories that we usually earmark for a weekend, but we've got so many stories that, and we've had many phone calls during our weekend program. So I thought I'd share with you some of the stories that ended up on the cutting room floor, stories of utmost importance anyway. So this story is about the avenging angel phenomenon. And no, I'm not talking about that from a religious sense, but this is actually a phenomenon, is that in the annals of murder, the worst murderers are health professionals. Because, you know, Jack the Ripper, who was notorious for, what did he kill, like, you know, 13 women, maybe 17 women, I don't know, it's in the low, definitely in the low two digits. And yes, you know, we now have the shooters with the high capacity rifles, who mow down, innocent, children, and civilians, at mass gatherings. But nobody could top the death toll that is caused by these avenging angels. And I'll cite a case in point for you. Headline. This is from Berlin. German nurse charged with 97 more murders at hospitals. This is from early this year. A German nurse who is already serving a life sentence for two murders has been charged with killing, get this, 97 more patients over several years at two hospitals in northwestern Germany. The new indictment against Nils Högl was expected after officials said in November that he may have killed more than 100 patients in total. He worked at a clinic in Oldenburg from 1999 to 2002 and in nearby Delmenhorst from 2003 to 2005. And in his initial trial, Högl had admitted that he intentionally brought about cardiac crises in about 90 patients in Delmenhorst because he enjoyed the feeling of being able to resuscitate them. He later told investigators that he also killed patients in Oldenburg. So this is the ultimate power trip. You know, and sometimes these death angels, they sometimes use as rationalization that they only killed old and infirm patients, you know, sort of like mercy killing. But, you know, without asking the subject, it's not a mercy killing. You know, it's like you're playing God and you're determining who will survive and who dies. I mean, it's the ultimate power trip, right? Because these are helpless patients and you, you know, wherever you are in the totem pole of the medical hierarchy, whether you're a chief surgeon or whether you're a licensed practical nurse or even an orderly, you have access to these medications. And you have access to the patient's IVs, and it doesn't take much to put a patient over the edge. And it, you know, it takes a while before a pattern emerges. Suddenly they say, well, for some reason, more patients, you know, patients die all the time, but for some, more patients are dying. Why did this patient die? You know, let's do an investigation. You know, is there a trace of medication? You know, there's no record because these medications are secretly administered. So they say, as part of a wider investigation involving these two hospitals, police and prosecutors in Germany reviewed more than 500 patient files and hundreds more hospital records And they also exhumed 134 bodies from 67 cemeteries. And they've been questioning Hegel very, very vigorously because he's already been convicted of two murders. And he may be guilty of 97 more. Pretty amazing. But hey, this is not unheard of. He simply joins the annals of other death angels in other countries, including the United States. Okay, this item I wanted to share with you because one of the most frustrating things for us doctors is when we propose treatments for patients and the claims are denied. The claims are, you know, and the patient gets stuck with a bill, or if we accept assignment, we're stuck. And it seems almost like there's a conspiracy against us to deny, deny, deny. And in fact, I ran into this many years ago. This must have been 25 years ago or 30 years ago when I was just beginning my career. And it went from whatever I prescribed was fine to all of a sudden patients were getting denials, denials, denials. So one of my patients came back to me and reported that when they spoke to Aetna Insurance, they spoke to somebody there, and they tried to give me a verbatim recitation of the conversation. And the person, you know, they said, well, the person who was giving them information said, well, you know, I see here that you're seeing Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Dr. Ronald Hoffman is an alternative doctor, I believe. And the patient said, yes. And they said, well, we never reimburse Dr. Ronald Hoffman. So the patient said, never? You mean there's nothing ever that he does that's you think is deemed worthy of reimbursement? And so, no, he's an alternative doctor. So what that suggests is, I mean, this is sort of the medical equivalent of redlining. It's like, you know, when you go from bank to bank to bank and you can't get a loan, you get stigmatized as an outlier. And then the insurance companies have an excuse to deny you. Now, this is an article also about Aetna. And Aetna is in trouble in California because California's insurance commissioner has launched an investigation to Aetna after learning that a former medical director for the insurer admitted under oath he never looked at patients' records when deciding whether to approve or deny care. So in other words, it was like virtually automatic denial. And this is another thing that I found, is that often, whenever you get a denial, as a doctor, you need to protest and argue with them and cajole them. And sometimes, not always, you'll get coverage. Or as a patient, you can be your own patient advocate and do this. But, you know, you need cooperation and help from your doctor. So the doctors who do this kind of work, we have to, you know, I have to say, you know, as gently as possible, that they're maybe not the most top-notch doctors. Because if they were, they would be in successful private practices. And it's the perfect job for, you know, perhaps an older doctor who's tired of running a practice and seeing patients, is go work for the insurance company. You don't make that much money, but it's a nice steady job. It's 9 to 5. And, you know, basically you're shuffling papers and reviewing, you know, hopefully you're reviewing cases to decide which cases should receive reimbursement and which cases should not. But in this case, the medical director for the insurer admitted that he never looked at the records when deciding whether to approve or deny care. Well, did anyone look at the records? Well, somebody did, but they were nurses. And so the nurses were empowered to look at the records. And in other cases, I've seen evidence that the guidelines often call for deny, deny, deny. In other words, the bias is towards denial rather than approval. So the California Insurance Commissioner, his name is Dave Jones, expressed outrage after CNN showed him a transcript of the testimony in court and said that his office is looking into how widespread the practice is within Aetna. He says, quote, if the health insurer is making decisions to deny coverage without a physician actually ever reviewing medical records, That's of significant concern to me as insurance commissioner in California and potentially a violation of law. So, the insurance commissioner said his expectation would be that physicians would be reviewing treatment authorization requests, and that it's troubling that, quote, during the entire course of time that he was employed at Aetna, he never once looked at patients' medical records himself. So, members of the medical community expressed similar shock, saying that the deposition of this former insurance reviewer for Aetna leads to questions about Aetna's practices across the country. One doctor said, quote, "Oh my God, are you serious? That is incredible." This doctor is a professor of pediatrics and internal medicine and a former member of the American Board of Allergy and Immunology's Board of Directors. Another doctor is quoted as saying, "This is potentially a huge, huge story and quite frankly may reshape how insurance functions." So, I think doctors are gleeful at this discovery that the review process is not fair. And this came up in a case where a young man was supposed to get something called intravenous immunoglobulin. He had very poor immunity. And Aetna withheld the treatment, even though a doctor recommended it. So these infusions can be expensive. They can cost up to $20,000 for a course of treatment. In this case, Aetna withheld the treatment, and this guy almost died. The patient's name is Gillen Washington. He's suing Aetna for breach of contract and bad faith, saying he was denied coverage, and that led him to be sick. And fortunately, I think ultimately they reversed their decision, and he ultimately received intravenous immunoglobulin, which he refers to as the magic juice. I mean, it really helped him, and it really was medically necessary. Dr. Arthur Kaplan describes this medical director's testimony as, quote, "a huge admission of fundamental immorality." Kaplan says, quote, "People desperate for care expect at least a fair review by the payer. This reeks of indifference to patients." Kaplan says that there needs to be more transparency and accountability from private for-profit insurers in making these decisions. And so, it's a kind of a peek under the hood. And it actually came to light not as a result of direct investigation of Aetna by the insurance commissioner, but inadvertently, because this was a guy suing Aetna because Aetna was withholding treatment from him. And so they got, in a law case, you get to subpoena records and you get to depose witnesses. And when this guy's attorney deposed the insurance company doctor, he said, "Did you ever look at the records?" And he said, "No, I never look at the records." "Really, doctor? You never look at records?" "No, that's not our policy here at Aetna." "Oh, well, that's a problem for Aetna." And, Aetna's getting some bad PR and pushback. And hopefully, they'll mend their ways in the future. But, look, cost containment is a big thing in medicine, and whether it's Medicare denying, that's the government, or private insurers denying, they want to save money, and they're notorious for doing it for integrative physicians like myself, because they say, you spend an hour with a patient, and what do you do? You just talk to them. You didn't prescribe any blood pressure medications. You didn't prescribe any diabetes medications. You didn't prescribe any cholesterol medications. So what are you doing? "Well, no, I was talking lifestyle and, I was giving the patient supplements." "Well, no, that doesn't cut it. That's not, we're not going to pay you for that. But I spent an hour of my time and the patient is much better. His cholesterol's down. His blood pressure's better. He's no longer diabetic." "Oh, we don't care. You have to follow the guidelines." Okay. Enough said. It is a frustrating situation. Okay. Here's a heads up on something that you may not realize if you are a taker of biotin. Biotin is a supplement. It's a B vitamin, and it's very well tolerated, even at high doses. It's kind of hard to have a lot of adverse symptoms from biotin. So biotin is given in high doses sometimes for improving nails. And historically, it was actually a Dr. Hoffman, no relation, who first discovered the relationship between relatively high doses of biotin and nail health, and possibly also hair health and possibly skin health. All these things are related. And now there's a buzz about high-dose biotin in the very high doses, hundreds of milligrams. You take maybe 5 to 10 milligrams a day for nail and skin and hair health. In multiple sclerosis, there's now clinical trials with much higher doses of biotin. And at that dose, they may even approve it as a medication. But there's a problem. There's a lot of people out there taking biotin. And it may interfere with some critical blood tests. So biotin at dosages greater than 5 milligrams, that's 5,000 micrograms, may interfere with lab tests. And how that may interfere is that it could cause thyroid tests to appear high. So, for example, in this case, a physician had been treating a patient's hypothyroidism successfully with thyroid medication for some time, when suddenly her free T4 levels spiked, despite her TSH being normal. So I've seen that from time to time. I've seen some patients with kind of weird tests. I don't know why they're, seem to have high levels of T4, but normal levels of TSH. TSH, of course, is when it's high, then you're hypothyroid. What's going on? Also, total T3 was elevated. And so, finally, the doctor asked the patient a simple question, are you taking biotin? And she replied, yes. She'd started taking 10 milligrams a day in hopes of improving her hair and nails. And her test returned to normal when she stopped taking biotin. So there was no problem with the patient's thyroid. She was on the correct amount of medication. But it was the biotin that threw off the tests. Biotin also interferes with certain other lab tests. There's an immunoassay for cortisol also, which biotin can interfere with, and it causes you to seem to have a high level of cortisol, and that's a test we sometimes do as well. This can be a problem. So, there's parathyroid hormone testing or PTH testing, and that can be thrown out of whack. Biotin may also have an impact on certain testosterone tests. So if you're taking high doses of biotin and you're going to get, like regular blood tests, getting a CBC or a chemistry, probably not a big deal. But if you're going to get your hormones tested, you better check with your doctor to see if your biotin screwed up the test results. Or just stop taking the biotin because it'll wash out of your body fairly quickly. Within 48 hours, it should not have an impact on the test results. That's kind of a little clinical pearl and for clinicians out there too, because I think some doctors are not yet aware of the potential of biotin to interfere with test results. From time to time, there's a meme that circulates that is something to the effect that we are all something. We are all, if you're standing up for, gay rights, you could say we are all gay. Or if we're standing up for an oppressed minority, we are all immigrants, or we are all whatever, or we're all a person who is subject to unfair persecution. And there's a meme circulating around in medical circles, and it's going viral. And the meme is, we are all Dr. Bawa Garba. And Dr. Bawa Garba's case has sparked outcry among doctors worldwide, because it really speaks to the predicament of doctors who are overworked and overstressed, and they make mistakes, and then they are horribly penalized and punished. And I have a great deal of empathy and sympathy for Dr. Bawa-Garbus. Let me tell you her story. In 2011, this has happened in England, which, by the way, I think it's also an indictment of the overworked, understaffed healthcare system over there. Dr. Bawa-Garba, who is, you know, I think, you know, I'm not going to say that she is, I mean, I think part of this is that she's an immigrant. I mean, that she is a physician trained in another country, I think an African country, who came to England to basically fill the doctor shortage. There's a lot of foreign doctors in England, just as there are increasingly a number of foreign doctors in the United States, because just not enough doctors, especially primary care doctors and hospitalists. So, in Leicester in the UK, a kid is sick and he has Down syndrome. So his communication skills are not that great and he's sick. And, Dr. Bawa-Garba, had been on leave and she came back to work after, I think she's on maternity leave. And she came back and she had to do double the work because she was doing the work of at least one other pediatric doctor who was also on leave. And so she was running around covering various wards of the hospital and taking calls from doctors and dealing with other emergencies. It was her first day back in the emergency ward taking care of sick children in an unfamiliar hospital after 14 months of maternity leave. And she screwed up because, but she didn't screw up in a way that is too different from what you might expect from a doctor under pressure. She saw the kid. She actually realized the kid had pneumonia and he had something called acidosis, which means that his blood was turning acid. What she did not realize, however, and what nobody else picked up on, was that the infection had caused Jack to go into septic shock, which is one step beyond pneumonia. It was a bloodstream infection, and that is a very dangerous situation because people often die from septic shock. So she correctly prescribed antibiotics for his pneumonia, but there were some delays in the hospital. He didn't get them for another hour. And noticed that he was on a drug for his heart condition, and she recognized that he shouldn't be on this medication because it lowers blood pressure, and you know he was sick, so she said she didn't need it. And but somebody still gave him the drug through no fault of her own because she didn't write him up for the drug, and he went into cardiac arrest. And then to compound things, the whole situation was so confusing, she didn't understand that there was no advance directive for this child in terms of how he was to be handled in a code situation. So when you are in a hospital, some people have what's called a do not resuscitate order, which means that they're so sick that they're going to die anyway, and it's the wishes of the patient and their family that they just be left alone. So in the confusion of the moment, she made a mistake, and she mistook Jack for another child who had a do not resuscitate order, and so she called off the resuscitation. However, they still tried to resuscitate the kid because another doctor corrected the misunderstanding and efforts were resumed, but they failed to revive this child and he died. So here's what happened. Dr. Bawa-Garba was convicted of, get this, manslaughter on the grounds of gross negligence. And she was suspended from practice for 12 months. And they wanted to go further. They wanted her permanently struck off the medical register. Struck off is yanked their medical license in British. And so finally, they actually did, the High Court of England struck off Dr. Bawa-Garba for life. The High Court of England found that the tribunal had failed to adequately sanction Dr. Bawa-Garba, just giving her 12 months of suspension. So they said, this is manslaughter, and she should never get near a patient ever again. So She's become a cause celeb because what she exemplifies is the plight of many overworked doctors in confusing circumstances who make tragic mistakes. And in effect, you know, it's hard for me to believe that she was herself the proximate cause of this child's death, that there was, it was a collective screw up with this kid. And yet she was being scapegoated. So there's a campaign of people people walking around in England with T-shirts. We are all Dr. Bawa Garba. I don't know the outcome of this campaign, whether she's going to be reinstated. But the ruling sparked outcry from doctors in Britain and around the world who say the case reflects systemic failures at the hospital and the broader healthcare system, and that it could have happened to any one of them. And, you know, I get a little choked up when I read this, because I think of myself during the heyday of my training when I was in similar circumstances. I was flying around the hospital trying to put out fires and trying to prioritize patients. You know, this one's sick, but this one's sicker, and this one's really sick, and so let me put off this one and, you know, I'll run around. And I was inexperienced and sometimes marginally supervised, frankly. It's a miracle that I didn't end up like Dr. Bawa Garba. I mean, thank God I didn't cause grievous harm to anyone, not to my knowledge. But, the expression, skiing on the edge of your skis, the wheels come off sometimes in situations like this. And, this, I think, is a very, very tragic case and an overreaction by the medical authorities, who should not be making a scapegoat after Dr. Bawa Garba. Maybe she makes her body language makes her a target, or her race or ethnicity, that she, doesn't seem like, a clean-cut, Anglo-Saxon doctor in the mold of what... typically used to be the standard in English hospitals. Less and less is the case. But it is a case that has sparked outcry among doctors worldwide, and I echo my sympathy for Dr. Bawa Garba. I hope that she is reinstated and that her medical career is not destroyed over this incident. That's all the time that we have for today's Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining us for a little departure from our usual format. We'll be back with interviews and our weekly Q&A with Layla. And once again, let me remind you that in the month of March, we've got a wonderful special going. If you want to sample some of the supplements available at FullScript, we'll run a 10% off sale plus free shipping. And that's fast and efficient free shipping on all your orders. So check it out. Go to drhoffman.com or drhoffmanstore.com. And check out some of my protocols that I put there for you, a heart health protocol, a starter kit, which is basic supplements that you might need, and also seasonal immune support. Flu is waning, but it's not gone, and a lot of people get sick in the spring, so we're offering that as a part of our special introduction to FullScript. So check it out. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.